咚咚咚咚咚咚咚咚咚 ，Hey no 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 wait wait wrong wrong，
yeah，
that's the wrong song。
Wait, let me
what version of Friends were you watching?
We have rehearsed this.
What kind of pirated version?
And he got it wrong.
What kind of pirated version of Friends is this?
I rehearsed this the whole day. I was thinking in my head the tune and I got it wrong. Fuck. Ding 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 ding. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. You all never sing, fucker.
We all lag.
Fuck you.
Okay, that failed.
Okay.
But I prefer the first version. It's like a remix of the original.
Yeah, I hope you add some auto-tune, maybe some a bit like Post Malone, things like that. Okay, please.
Post Malone.
Yeah, please, please. Please, please, please. Okay. I hope you got from the opening theme of the song what we were trying to do for this week's episode. It's about friendships and let's go right into it. And
are you not going to introduce us first?
Oh yeah, yeah. Fuck, I forgot.
Our very new listeners.
I'm failing. Yeah.
You got frazzled from that cock up
from the repeated mistakes. So we are the Puckish podcast. We are the Puckish podcast. This is the is it the 9th episode? I think we're doing.
Yes.
Yes, yep. I got that right. So. Thank you to all the listeners out there. You know, I hear your feedback. I think we recently jumped from 75 downloads to now more than 300, right?
Yeah, more than 300.
More than 300 downloads. Hey. So that's an achievement, lah, guys. Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
And shout out to our listeners in like Italy, in Canada,
really.
Malaysia, that's Netherlands, Italy? Brunei.
Who's in Italy?
I don't know. Huh? So shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out to one person.
I don't know who are these, like Netherlands.
Him, her, Shim, or you
this,
know.
This one person from Acton, England.
Wow. I don't know anyone in Acton. Well, okay, never mind. Shout out to you.
Whoever you are, thanks for listening.
Good day, mate.
I think that's Australian.
Enjoy it, bruv.
I don't think we have Australian listeners
yet. Enjoy it, bruv. Okay. Safe. Yeah, safe fam. Okay, we're the Pockish podcast. Okay, we are four guys, usually. But we don't have Amiral here again. Sadly, because he's a as you know from our previous episode, he's a very interesting marketing professional
and very fully employed.
Yeah, very fully employed, not like us. That's why we can afford to do this, you know, have the time to do this. Yeah, like I said, we are doing this episode, as you can tell from the opening theme song, we are doing it on friendships. And we kind of just were looking back at our own friendships and our own childhood friends and the friends that we made along the way, because YJ sent us this little article called Against Social Optionality, right? So YJ, why don't you tell us, you know, what inspired you to send us this this little article?
Yeah, so I think the article was really interesting. It was by this writer and also fellow podcaster, his name is Timer. He has this podcast called Not Overthinking with Ali Abdal. I hope I got the names right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So basically the main gist of what social optionality is that in different social situations, we have different degrees of social optionality, which is the ability to freely abandon one person or group for another. And then he gave this following situations. So this is ordered from the highest social optionality to lowest. So a large party of maybe 40 people will have the highest social optionality, which would mean you could like jump from one person to another in a party.
A dinner gathering do you all know any, like, do you have 40 friends really? I can't count the...
I don't think so. I mean, I have more than 40 friends on Facebook, but you know.
Yeah, I think Facebook counts as
Facebook
real friends
don't count, right?
Yeah.
I thought they counted as real friends.
this is good. This is a good introduction. I mean, do you all have any kind of like friends from way back, maybe more than 10 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't count myself. Okay, more than 15 years or. About at least 20 years.
Yeah.
How old were we? Nine. Where were we in
eight, 9 years?
Primary yeah, 2.
So primary 3.
Primary 3.
Yep. Do you have primary school friends? Like primary 1?
Yes, I do. I do have a primary 3 friend. And I'm still talking to him today. I mean, very rarely, but we still do meet for Chinese New Year and stuff. And yeah, it's kind of weird, right? Because to have that many friends, you got to have like a core group. And so my core group is all my secondary school friends, weirdly enough. I don't know about y'all.
Well, I have two friends that I'm still kind of in contact with from primary 1. But they're living overseas, and I'm not as close to them. We were super close in primary school, like all through primary school and secondary school, and even when they were in Singapore, we still met up regularly. And now that they're overseas, and I guess they're all living their own lives, and when they do come back, we meet up, but still not. I mean, we're still not as close, but we are still in touch. So I'm actually quite grateful for that friendship. Like, it's quite nice knowing that you know someone that has seen you since you were 6 years old.
Yes,
and those two guys went to the same kindergarten together. So they've known each other for even longer.
Are they still in touch with each other also?
Yeah. So it's like we were like the three of us. Actually, it's a funny story how we became friends. We all were in the same school bus together, right? So the bus driver picked me up first. And then the second stop, he picked up this other guy, Sean, who is my friend. He came into the bus. He was crying, and then he like said that the driver made him sit next to me. This is the first day of school in primary 1. Driver made him sit next to me, and then like literally he looked at me. And he was like, "Can I be your friend?" That's the first thing he said to me in primary school, in the first day of school, and he was crying. And then I was like, "Yeah, sure." And then
you took pity on him, right? You took pity on him. That's right.
I felt bad. I was like, well, if it makes you feel better, sure. Hey, sure. And then a few stops down, picked up another guy, and he sat on the same row as us, so there's three of us. And then we realized, like, later on, right, we realized that we were the only three brown boys in the bus, and they placed us all three together.
Fucking racist.
On the same
bus.
Row. The bus driver. Just
cancel this bus.
Maybe he just knew that we would get along because we are still friends today, right?
Yeah.
Because all three of us were in different classes at that point in primary school. So we became friends just because we lived around the area and we were in the same school bus together.
Yeah.
And I guess he was right, even though he was semi-racist.
Yeah. But,
looking back, you know, the three of us are still friends. So whoever you are, thank you, uncle.
Thanks. Yeah. Fucking uncle, even though you're racist. But thanks anyway.
What a way to meet people.
Wait, what primary school were you in?
I was in ACS.
Oh. Then ACS. Yeah.
ACS Junior.
Okay.
Then I went to ACS Barker.
Oh.
Isn't ACS and St. Pat's like eternal rivals?
No lah, it's like super far away.
What was it like in a boys' school? Like making friends in a boys' school?
I would think our experiences are quite similar, right? In that you have to find your sort of clique very early on. Because what I knew growing up, right, was like if you're alone, you're gonna be single out really quickly, and you know, the bullies or the alpha males were gonna target the loners, the people who are a little bit quieter. So you got to like, it's kind of like a performance when you enter into secondary 1 or even primary school. So like for me, I don't know about you, but then for me is I picked up on certain social skills. So like, for example, I always leverage on my football to always make friends. So I had to make friends with people from other classes, right? To sort of, you know, get some social currency, for example. So I use football as that way to meet new people. But then that was then lah. I don't know about you if sports was like a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. It was the same. Actually, that's very similar. Like most of my closer friends in primary school were made because we used to play football with like a water bottle. Because my school banned football apart from PE. So during recess, right, we would buy takeaway from the canteen. Then we buy like plastic bottle. Okay, I mean, now talking about plastic bottles at this day and age is like taboo, I know.
Yeah.
But it was 1998. Then we just like
get a grip, guys.
we bought like the there's different tiers of plastic bottles. There used to be this drink called like Q O O.
It's still around, I think.
Yeah, so that
like,
was
it's like harder, right? It's harder.
Yeah, it's
than
harder. So that kind of plastic bottle was like the Nike kind of ball. It's equivalent to a Nike ball while playing football in the in primary school. So most of my friends, right, were made through playing football and then talking about football, like over like Man U and all these things, you know. Yeah. And then you are right. It's just definitely like you have to either be really funny or like be a play a sport, or you know, you just have to get into your group as soon as possible. And I was lucky that the guys that I sat with were like they played football also. So naturally we just became friends and met more people while playing football and, you know, classmates and stuff like that.
Or like doing stupid shit. Like you dare each other to do stupid things.
Oh yeah.
Then you just end up becoming friends. How is like you know, growing up in a neighborhood school, a mixed school, like, because I mean, we have no idea, right?
So both of you are boys' school.
Yeah.
Until when, like?
For 10 years.
For 10 years.
So yeah. Until like sec 4 la.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like in mixed schools all the way for like my whole life. Primary school, secondary
player,
school.
Player, you're a player since day one.
Yeah. I mean, it's honed your social skills.
First day got girlfriend already, right?
but you saw that like in like sec 2, sec 3, like people like getting boyfriend, girlfriends, all that. But very much like you guys, sports was also a main way to make friends, especially in like with the other boys in the school. So I learned how to play different sports at a younger age. So basketball and then football. So those two sports made me like different groups of friends. And I guess if the girls were just like your classmates, because I guess at that age you didn't really think of anything else, it was just an annoyance. And those you can get along with, or like those who actually played sports with you, those like became your better friends. But other than that, I wouldn't say it's much different from you guys. I was just around more girls. But yeah, I didn't really talk to them much because there wasn't much in common. Like sports was a very much a part of my life also, like basketball and football. So a lot of friendships were made through sports as well. And then the girls were just classmates. So
what about doing
much
projects, school projects? Then you sort of go through this rough time together. So you forge friendships from there. I don't know. That's what I would think.
Secondary school or school project?
Were there any group things where
I had like one group project, I remember. One or two.
Maybe through CCAs.
Did you have, or let's say in early primary school, like lower primary school, did you have a close female friend? Or do you just stick with the boys? Boys club.
Probably like the boys. I remember when I was in primary school, like we had so that was when the Star Wars, the prequels came out, I think, around those time with like Hayden Christensen and all that. So we were like into like using those. There was this like retractable pointers.
Oh yeah, I remember that with then the pen on top, right?
Yeah, then
you
we
can unscrew the top with the pen.
Yeah, then we like buy from the school. Then like it'll be our lightsabers. Then we can convert the pen to a gun. Then you can like shoot each other. Was like the lasers. How many played that things with other boys? So I guess primary school there were like. I only remember like one or two girls from there. I don't remember anyone else. Any others. Wow.
Did you all play with those erasers?
Then yeah.
Yes, the country erasers.
Country erasers. And then sometimes you also put the stapler at the bottom.
Then you spin
then try to spin it. Yeah. Spin. Or OG Beyblade.
Yeah, it was that and like the WWE cards. Or like Pokemon cards.
Yes.
Yeah, those
these were common trends, you know, around all schools, I guess.
Yeah. I guess boys at that age will always be boys. I mean, I think it's only after...
That's a problematic statement, by the way, nowadays. Boys will be
young,
boys.
Yeah,
young
what
boys.
Do you mean?
Yeah.
Young boys. What I mean is boys like to play sports a lot more. And they find like friendships through that.
Yeah, but strangely enough, right, it wasn't sports that made me have the core group of friends that I have today. Like, This group of friends I only met in Sec 3 when I suddenly somehow did well during the sec 2 streaming exams, right? I went to a best class, but I was the stupidest boy in the best class. And basically every friend that I made, every friend that I have now from secondary school, right, is because we were all the stupidest boys in the best class. And that's how we bonded, actually, really. So, having said that, right, sports may have been sort of that it allowed me to make more friends, but those friends have sort of gone away when the sports wasn't there, you know what I mean? When you find out that, you know, there are other things that you have in common with the person, and then your core group sort of forms from there.
So the friends that you made from sports were more superficial.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, not okay. Yeah, maybe not superficial. Yeah. It's just that maybe we had this one common denominator then, and then when it's gone, it's just like, oh, what else do we, you know? I mean, I do meet some of them still, but it's just that, no, it's just like either football. I mean, even though we watch EPL games together, or you know, we go for like one random dinner, what, every few months or every year, that kind of thing. But the core group is really just like from other things, from other interests and all that.
Yeah, I think your closest friends, my closest friends from that period are probably people who could play sports, and then we connected on the other level also. So I guess the group I still meet up with from my secondary school that I meet up with now, there are people who still played football, and then we were in the same class also. So I guess we had those both those things in common, and we had some shared experiences that made us friends. And I think it's also, usually for these groups, there's always one person that brings everyone together. That there will be always, like, usually in one group, there's like one or two people that will always try and get everyone together, will be the one more accountable to their friendship. So they're like, hey, come on, like try to like get people to join different outings. So I think that one person is also quite important in the friendship groups.
The kind of the extrovert, right? The guy or girl who's just inviting everyone and trying to organize everything, and then you have the people who follow and show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think every group has that one guy. I know that guy from my primary school. I think I know who that was in that group. And but I guess similar to Nigel, like in primary school, at first it was like, oh, you know, we just play soccer and all these things. And then after that, you realize that, I mean, I wasn't that great at football. And then after a while, like there'll be a lot of, favoritism. And then after a few years, you know, then you realize that you don't get along with a lot of people there also. Then you slowly find a group of friends that like surpass football. It's just that go beyond football. So you like watching the same shows, or you know, you like, I don't know, listening to the same music. I know that time was like Linkin Park, like people who like Linkin Park, or like
Limp Bizkit. Every teacher's day, people will sing Linkin Park in the end.
yeah. And then you initially just bond over those things, right? And then, so I think those are the friends that will last longer. And that's why I'm still close to those two guys, because it wasn't just like football and stuff, because we lived around the same area. Then, you know, slowly, like, we always used to hang out, and we used to watch stuff together, play PlayStation and all these things. And so it was way more than that, lah. It's weird how people change the way they make friends from primary school and then going on to secondary school, and then as you're maturing also, or as you're going through puberty, like the way you think is different. And there were people, because I was from, I guess, Nigel, in the same way, like a lot of people in your primary school was also in your secondary school.
Yeah.
Because you're affiliated, right? And I used to be really close to people in primary school, and then once I go to secondary school, like the guy would just become an acquaintance. Like I used to be like very close to this guy in primary school, or like maybe just 1 year in primary school, like in primary four. And then after that, in secondary one, it was totally different. We become strangers. Don't
different
really
class and all that, right?
Yeah. For 1 year, you guys were damn close, and you knew everything about that guy, and he knows everything about you. You were, like, he would come to your house, and then after that, it just disappears, and it feels weird. But at the same time, everyone is changing, going in different directions.
Yeah.
So Did you have a lot of experiences like that?
Yeah, I mean when you said that account, right? I remember my second ever heartbreak, right, was with, because the first heartbreak was with a girl, okay, because, you know, there was a girl. And then the second ever heartbreak I had, right, was because when I had this best friend from primary 3 to primary 6, I think. But then primary 6, he went to SJI, and I went to St. Patrick's. And then because that sort of, you just sort of realize, I thought back, right, I was like, oh, shit, I'm losing him, but then I'm too egoistic to even like call, give him a call. At the time, there was no handphone or anything, right? So we have to use our house phone. So I knew I was losing him along the way in sec one, but I didn't do anything about it. And then recently, I about maybe 1.5 years back or 2 years back, I met him again through football, strangely enough. And then it brought me back to that when I was 13 years old and I was thinking like, wow, fuck, this was my best friend for 3 years from primary 3 to primary 6. And then in sec 1, because he moved to a different school, we just sort of like lost touch because, you know, for whatever reason, it was also my own like, my own ego, I guess. Like, that's why we lost touch and we didn't even talk. So that was quite sad, like, actually.
Do you think that's like a guy thing? Like a very male, because you're a boys' school, then like,
yeah,
you maybe also have that. There's this that I feel that there's definitely this like a guard that you put up, or like a character that you put up to be harder than you are in a boys' school.
Yeah, I don't think
everyone is doing the same thing. School, everyone's just putting up this character of like wanting to be hard, and you know, like, you know, I was like the smallest, I was the shortest guy in my class for the whole of secondary school. So I was bullied like hardcore in secondary school because of like my size, and I was just like, compared to the other guys lah. So everyone is just trying to be like more manly and, you know, more like alpha than they are, right? And then obviously if you don't fall into that, then you get stepped on. And then you always, it's always like by size, right?
Or if
like
you're a little bit different, you get stepped on. But now we promote originality and individuality, which
why are boys' school so hardcore?
I don't know. It's very weird. Isn't it not like that? Like, I thought it was just like being a boy in secondary school or in primary school.
I think it's not that. I think it's just in a boys' school, it's just that more intense than compared to a mixed school. Like, there was definitely that in my school, but like, if, I mean, people definitely get bullied in every school.
Yeah.
But those that just, even if you are short or something, you don't get really picked on, or not because of your size. It's more of if you're a loner or like socially awkward.
Yeah,
I guess it wasn't that intense. It wasn't that much like testosterone. Was there even
because
testosterone
there,
then?
It was pre-puberty,
right?
No. I think it's because we were still discovering ourselves. So as we discover ourselves, right, we are still sort of formulating what we want to be as like teenagers, right? And then you cannot show that any sign of weakness while you're doing so. So that's why like there's this whole like bravado thing that you like I mentioned, like the social currency thing that you have. Like if you're even a little bit different, right? If you are even maybe effeminate or something, right? You get bullied. Or even if you're short, then you get bullied. Like it's a very strange thing, but because I think everyone was just scared or you know, just afraid of who they really are, or, you know, just don't want to show who they really are.
Insecure. There was definitely a set middle ground that everyone wanted to fall in. This zone of like, at least, so the top zones are the people who are like maybe the school team players, all the athletes, and my school is really good for like rugby and water polo. So those guys were always like the alphas in all the classes, and they can do whatever they do, right? Even though it's very different or whatever, people just respect it because they are the alphas, they can set trends and things like that. And then you have the guys who are like really funny also. So they are very like self-deprecating. And there was a lot of times I did that in school because that's how I tried to fit in also. We have a lot of self-deprecating humor where because I was like damn short, and I was always, it was always competing between me and this other guy to be like, who's the shortest. So you know, I was like, oh yes, this year I grew, I'm like 1 cm taller than you, so I'm not the shortest in the class. And I'm like, you know, I feel like I fit in more because I'm not the shortest. I'm not like sticking out in some way. I'm not sure exactly where it stems from, but the mentality that guys have, or they have to show that they are either damn strong or like, or got a lot of girls, like, oh, look at all these girls on my phone, or, you know, Valentine's Day, then they will bring like rose to school, then like, oh yeah, I'm going to give my rose to this girl, I don't know what nonsense, and that's make everyone feel like...
Then Friendster, like you got how many testimonial?
Yeah. Hey bro, you write me testy today.
Yeah. Fuck man.
I mean, a lot of it was fun and funny and everything, but at the same time, when I look at my Facebook now and I have some of my primary school and secondary school classmates and schoolmates on my Facebook, I still remember them as how I remember them when I was in secondary school. So when I see their posts now, right, I haven't talked to them in like years. When I see their posts now, I'm just like, wow, like I cannot imagine them saying that as how I remembered them, because in my mind they're still this like 14-year-old dude,
not a fully formed adult.
Yeah, and then they are saying this like really, like they're putting these heartfelt things on Facebook, their statuses, or like, you know, getting married, and then like having very I don't know, I mean, now of course very rational, articulate thoughts. And I'm just like, wow, they're like, in my mind they were just this dude, this guy who just went around like spraying deodorant on people's faces, and, you know, like twisting the nipples and stuff like that.
I guess I get your point, because we are now different individuals with different interests. So actually, where do you all, you know, get your core group of friends now, if it's not in secondary school?
I think my core group of friends, I guess the group I still meet the most would be like my poly friends. If it's like a recurring group that I meet maybe like once in a few months kind of thing. It's because I felt like the friends that I had in secondary school, I wasn't fully myself when I was with them. There was still this barrier of like trying to be someone else or trying to be like not actually myself. And when I went to poly and I started hanging out with people who like was like watching the same things as I was watching and then had a lot of similar interests, then I felt like I could be more myself in poly.
Yeah.
So I felt that then, because I was like that, like the friends that I had in secondary school would think I'm not the same or something like that, something along those lines, because they knew me to be this person in secondary school, even though I don't think it's that much different. I just had that in my mind that I feel like I can finally let my guard down a bit more than being. It's also because like of being bullied because of my size. And after I left secondary school, I like, that's when I shot up. I never shot up in secondary school. It's like the year after I left, right? Between that and poly is when I grew like a lot. Until I think I grew like 10 cm or something like that.
Someone is playing a joke on you, man.
Yeah.
So when people saw me in that poly, they like didn't recognize me also, because I was always the smallest, shortest guy in my class. And so in the group of friends that I made in poly over the 3 years there were the ones that I am in most contact with.
Yeah.
If not, the people that my primary school friends are, the three guys or two guys that were on the same school bus as
same
me.
Bus. Those, yeah, bus those guys. Boys.
Yeah, my uncle, bus boys.
Bus uncle.
Yeah, so in the middle, I kind of lost touch with my secondary school friends. Mm. Yeah, what about you guys? Mm. I mean, Nigel, are you still in touch with your secondary school friends?
My poly friend is right there.
Yeah.
Hi.
I think, I don't know how, I forgot how we met actually. Because I remember we were in different
same,
classes.
Yeah, we weren't in the same class. It was like me and Amiril, and then you and EJ.
Yeah.
I think it was only after a while that...
Somewhere during the first year where we just started hanging out, maybe because of football, or maybe because...
I think it was because of girls. Football.
No, I thought it was because of girls.
I think it was because both. I think it was the girls first then.
Right. Yeah, and maybe
what girls be, because of girls.
Because girls, I think girls make friends, or rather they make the initial contact quite easily, more easier than guys. So like because in his class there were girls who knew people in my class. So I guess that's how they got together. and then we just sort of met each other through like this clusterfuck of things, and then from group meeting, group outings, and then we just started playing football together. We just realized, oh, we can all play football. Then, yeah, from there, I don't really remember how our relationship grew from there, but then I remember us going to Wuhan together, to Wuhan, China.
Yeah,
we went to Wuhan.
We actually went to Wuhan together.
We were like OGs in Wuhan.
OG Wuhan. We
what
didn't
were
see
in
anything.
Wuhan?
We were there to learn news writing and Chinese culture.
Feature writing and some Chinese culture.
Yeah.
Thing. It was like a 5-week thing, right?
Yeah. I think so.
About 5-week things. Yeah. 5 weeks in Wuhan. So then we were like roommates.
I would say before that we were hanging out quite a lot, but then I think maybe the Wuhan thing was like bonded us really well, because we had to stay, we were staying in the dorms, right? And then the dorms had 4 rooms, right? But then because all of us were really, really scaredy cats, I decided to sleep with my friend. He decided to sleep with Amiril.
Amiril decided to sleep with me.
Oh, okay. Let's make it clear out there.
Since he's not here right now.
because it was quite scary. So, and then we found out the rest of the group, right? Everyone was sleeping in separate rooms except us.
Including the girls.
Yeah, including the girls. Some of us had girlfriends there, by the way.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. And we decided, why not sleep with each other? We'd rather sleep with each other. So, I would say maybe that's not the thing that brought us together, but it definitely played a part, a huge role in bringing
sleeping
us together.
Definitely.
And I think that during that age, around that 17 to 18 onwards, that was when Facebook became a thing.
Yeah.
And I think social media helped accelerate that growth of friendships, because that's really where social media just started to become a really big thing for all of us. Especially as teenagers. So that helped us making friends and talking to people a lot easier.
And also because we were trying to break out and trying to be individuals. What? We were more expressive than our secondary school selves and things like that.
Yeah.
And we probably also bonded because we were bullied by the girls to do stupid things for them.
Not we.
No. Okay.
Not in Wuhan.
You were also...
Not in Wuhan.
Okay, not in Wuhan, but you were also bullied. By girls across our 3 years.
It was a numbers game. We were outnumbered.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, but do you think we became friends because of social optionality? We had no other options because there were so little guys around us.
No, but there were other guys as well that we weren't friends with. What? I mean, in your class, I don't know the people in your class also. And
but it was
guys...
a lot lesser. There was what's 20%, right? That's
yeah, there were 200.
200.
People.
What's 20% of 200?
I don't know. My maths is shit.
40, yeah.
40, yeah. There's only 40 guys.
So, when you guys went to poly, did you... Okay, let's say on, orientation day, did you have something in mind, how you're going to go and socialize? Did you have a type of person you were looking for? Or, this is the type of guy I want to be friends with?
I remember the person that I talked to during orientation... I probably didn't talk to for the rest of the years that I was there. So I think we just stumbled upon each other because we were guys, and then we were you go to the same class, or maybe you know this person, then I seen you at this particular outing, and then we just sort of became friends from there. So it was no choice, maybe.
And we had similar interests. I think sports was a big thing because I don't think any other of the other guys did any exercise.
No. You cannot call them out like that, man. They did, but maybe it was different sports or something.
It's the interests also play a part. The type of interests we had.
Yeah. Because at that time, I was into emo music, and then Amiril was into emo plus metal. Then I guess all of us just sort of
We started a band.
Yeah, we started a band, actually.
Oh, right. So that means there's a similar interest there already, right? You guys had music as a bonding tool or the subject that you guys bonded over. So how long was it since you started poly and then when you officially became friends or like you started hanging out more? Were you guys like the first few people you met? You weren't, right? It was a few...
Was it
a few weeks after that?
I remember I only had one guy friend.
Half a year. We knew each other that we existed because there were so little of us. But we kind of... I guess the first semester we stuck to our own class.
Yeah.
Like for me, Amir was in my class. So Amir was like one of my first few friends in poly.
Oh, and I think there was also the orientation camps that played a part, right? In the friends that we made for that period of time. I guess we also found our cliques from being in the same group, for example. And then you just keep going out of that same particular group of people for even when, you know, when you break out of your class, you will just go and find that particular group because you were in the same orientation group. So I think in poly, in uni, that's usually the case, right? Where you bond because of these social activities.
You probably start off with one group and then you kind of like move your way through the different groups and then see which one sticks.
Do you still remember your friends from your orientation group?
Yeah, the full kit wanker.
Yeah, oh yeah. Who we'll not name yet because he's a full kit wanker. Yeah, he's a full kit wanker who ignored us and yeah. I mean that's part of it, right? But that's part of life. But you'll find that even their interests have changed, right? Even over the past like 10 years or so.
Mm.
Like what do you all actually talk about now? Even have the topics, you know?
I think here and there, like the topics have definitely evolved. Like I think previously when we were teenagers, it was very much about what was cool, what our interests were, what things that were happening, like music, sports, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But I guess now it's more like how are things with that person. Like it was more like not about things anymore, it's about the person themselves.
People. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like not other people. I mean, other people for sure, but like
it's like finding out about the person, right?
Catching up with the person. I guess when you see someone so frequently, you kind of know what's going on with the person.
Yeah.
But the less frequently you see them, the more you talk about how that person's life has been more and more.
Do you find that sometimes, right, when you talk to friends that you haven't talked to in a while, all you talk about is your love life. If let's say it's like not that stable or how would you say like you will talk about other people's love lives or your own love life. I found that for a long time in my 20s, right? That's all I ever talked about with some people that I, you know, see rarely.
I think it depends on the group of friends, but yeah, I think for me a lot of it is if I'm meeting out with my old poly friends and stuff, then we do talk about like our relationships. We talk a bit about work, but it's more, it kind of surpasses work now. It's just more like your relationships and like marriage.
Yeah.
If they want to have kids and all these like bigger life topics, right? Yeah, versus the small talk will be like, oh, like what fitness studio do you go to? Or like, you know, all these like
latest scandal.
Yeah. And like your views on this thing or that thing. But because you meet them so rarely, then you need to like kind of find out how that person is doing. And I guess naturally you ask like, how's your significant other? And then if the significant other is not there, then you do have that conversation, right? And you talk about it.
I think, do you find that you all are different people to different groups of friends? Like, you adopt a different sort of persona. So, for example, for me, like with a certain group of secondary school friends, right? We just watch football together. Then we talk about football. And then for, let's say, my poly friends, we talk about, you know, maybe current affairs, the food that we eat and the music that we listen to, for example. Then, you know, things like that. Like, I find that I maybe take on different roles and also heighten different attributes, maybe. Not attributes, heighten different characteristics of myself even more with certain groups of people. Like, maybe certain groups I'm a bit quieter. Maybe certain groups I'm a bit more loud, more brash. Do you all find that?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think it depends on like how comfortable you are with that group and also the interest you have in with those groups. Like for example, if you're talking about my group of friends from army, we probably wouldn't talk so much about like what I would talk to you about, like podcasts or like maybe sports, because I know they're not really into that. It'll be more of like work and like life and like relationship stuff. Yeah, I think there's definitely like each group, you have a different kind of version of you.
Is it fake or is it just is you but it's a different...
I think there are different aspects, like different sides of you. You are one entity, right? And you have different groups bring out different parts of you. So some groups, yeah, like for example, like I can talk to you guys about like different podcasts and different or maybe running and things like that. Yeah. But then like when I talk to my army friends, it's more like, actually it was with my army friends, a lot of the times we were just going out and like partying and stuff like that. So a lot of it was revolving around that.
Yeah.
And their own like drunken stories and things like that. So and then that was the aspect of me that was amplified when I was hanging out with them. So that was that persona channel, like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm just out to like have fun and it was a Friday night and like party, whatever. So there definitely is different outlets for different parts of yourself in different groups of friends. It has to be. You can't really be the same. It's very hard to be totally the same throughout, because you are reactive also with your group of people.
Yeah, that's true. Like, no, but actually it brings me back to the other article that YJ sent, right? It's titled "The Families We Choose," right? There was this particular segment where we tend to think of our friendships as an escape to our obligations, like our marriages, our partners, our families that we have to, you know, take care of per se. But we forget that these friendships are also based on some kind of love, and they also require some rigor, some exertion of things that you do not want to do. Maybe like you maybe it's inconvenience as well. Like you need to go find them. You need to meet them regularly. You need to constantly text them, ask how are you, you want to meet, things like that. So I guess the friends that I keep today is because I actually really want them to be in my life, and I actually made the effort to text them, to ask how are they and things like that, rather than just let it slide. And it tells me that actually, I put in effort. Like, actually, the friends that I have today at 29 years old is really the friends that I actually wanted to keep. And it's a reminder to me to continuously like keep doing this. Like, I cannot just let it slide now. You know what I mean?
I think that's one of the tougher parts of maintaining relationships now, especially when you have so many options in terms of ways to meet people or connect with people. You kind of like, it's like the whole optionality, back to the social optionality thing again. You have too many choices, and it's so easy to not meet up with someone because there are so many other things you can do. And a lot of the times you have to be honest with yourself as to why you don't want to meet that person. Like, I think we all have like built out of something before, like from meeting a group of friends or a party, and when we didn't want to be there, but we said yes at first.
Yeah.
And then we have to kind of like make up an excuse or lie to ourselves that, oh, I actually have something to do. I'd rather spend time with someone else. And then you tell the other person that, oh, I'm not feeling well. Something like that.
Yeah.
Because I guess now we have so many options to do other things. Like, this person is not a priority. And I guess that's like, as to what Nigel said, it's like prioritizing your different relationships and see which one you want to prioritize. So you don't really give yourself an option not to meet them. It's like, it's kind of like what we are doing with the podcast also. Like, we give ourselves like a goal to meet, a frequency to set how many times we kind of meet and talk about things.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no option, not much of an option to really not do it. And in a way, that also helps maintain this friendship also. And
are there friends that y'all had no choice but to meet, and then suddenly it just became a thing, and then you know, just so happens that y'all are close friends now?
I think that would be Army, right? Like,
yeah.
I think Army would be a very interesting way to meet people, because the way how it's structured, for those who don't know, you go through different phases in Army, like your basic military training, your school training, and then your unit training, and these are broken down into more or less like 2 months, 6 to 9 months, and then about a year. So you kind of meet different groups of people along the way, and you build different strengths of relationships. There are people I talk to now that I met in BMT that I still talk to now, even though we only spend like
2 months
together. But because of that like chemistry we had, we still meet each other almost like once every month or something. Yeah, and definitely like the people you spend the longest time with, you kind of have more time to bond.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, like, I mean, like the... my unit, we have reservists, so it's always the same group of people again. So we have no choice but to see each other every year, or sometimes even twice a year. And we do make an effort to maintain that relationship and that friendship outside of Army and outside of camp. So yeah, and these are the people you don't actually plan to meet. Like, you don't go into Army having a ideal person you want to meet in mind at all. This is really the luck of the draw. Like, you really have no idea. You meet some really shitty people, and then you meet people that you were friends with for a very long time.
I think out of all my Army friends, I have two friends that are, I would say are my closest friends from the Army, and one of them was with me from BMT. So like, we were BMT together, then we went SCS together, then we went different units. But out of all the people we met, like, we still chose to keep in touch. I mean, we still like went out a lot during Army, and then after that we still kept in touch. And then out of all the friends that you make in Army, it was filtered down to two of them that actually stuck around, and because we had the most similar interests, but in the aspect of like just going out and having fun and stuff like that. In that way, I haven't spoken to them in actually quite a long time. Then I asked myself the other day, like, why I haven't been in touch with them. I messaged them maybe just before the whole circuit breaker thing started. But then unfortunately the circuit breaker started, then we haven't had a chance to meet up yet. But I asked myself, like, why I didn't take the effort to message them. Or rather, when they went out, I realized that I always didn't join them when they were out on their Friday nights or Saturday nights and stuff. And then I think it was because they were always out like drinking and like partying. And that was something that...
Were they single?
One of them is single, yes. Oh. One of them is single. But no, that was something that I also was cutting out a lot in my life at that point. Then I realized that most of the time when I went out with them was out because we were out like drinking. Then I didn't realize that was most of the time I spent with them until I realized I hadn't seen them in a long time.
Right.
And it's because I haven't been out that much. So that's the issue. I mean, like, I do enjoy that. And I think I really miss them and miss hanging out with them, and I want to catch up with them.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I had to come to terms with it. I understand that I am not as... Well, I guess similar to them also. They also... probably not going out as much anymore.
Yep.
And we realized that we were the people that just hang, always were enabling each other to do stupid things when we were out. So we all just like, you know, kind of took it easy for a bit. And then I would see them like once in like 6 months or once a year kind of thing. Mm. Also like on a night out. Yeah, I mean, those were my Army friends. I guess the people that were more constant were my poly friends. And I guess because YJ and I studied... went to uni together, and that's how I met YJ in university. So I always wondered if I was in still close proximity to people at my university, because we study in the UK, right? Whether I would probably be in more in contact with them, because we had a lot more similar interests in uni. And that's when like we were more ourselves also, like the selves that we are today we were closer to that in uni because that's when we like discovered it more.
Yep.
So unfortunately, we were not in the same country. So, but I do, again, not as much, but you know, like occasionally like group chats, just like ask them how they're doing. Then recently try to FaceTime, like two of them are like quite, I'm still quite close to and still like check in on them. And when I go back and visit, like they meet up with me. So, and it's still the same. Like it doesn't feel like we've been apart for a long time, which is what I feel means that our friendship will probably last for a long time because it doesn't feel like it's awkward. It doesn't feel like we've not known each, we've not spoken. It's just we just meet and then we just, you know, get back to where we left off, which is a very nice feeling to have also. So I kind of have that trust that wherever I see them again or whenever I see them again, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
So, and we all have that mutual understanding that it's going to be the same. So we don't have to like, we check in on each other like once in a few months, and then when we actually meet up and then it goes back to the same, so we all like don't have to worry about losing each other as friends. Yeah,
I think mine is also quite similar to Vin's like army friend story, where like I had this group of poly and sort of a little bit after that time period, that those group of friends where I used to go out with them clubbing a lot, and then even when I stopped drinking and stuff like that, I would still meet them but not drink. Then, you know, I just ended up being the sort of like the Grab driver who send everyone back home. But I didn't resent that. It's just that every time I meet them, it would just be drinking or just be partying. And
did you feel left out?
No, because I don't miss drinking. It's just that I was just thinking, you know, then our sort of friendship is just based on that particular social glue, right?
Activity. Which
is
drinking.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we still meet. It's just that less often now, and you know, I quite recently realized that you know, actually I do enjoy the company of these people, and I should make an effort more. But it's just that when we first started hanging out a lot more was because of drinking or partying.
Like, did any of like the friends reach out to you and say, hey, you don't like drinking, we can tell, like, do you want to do something else?
No, not for me, because yeah, I think that's why, like, no, they would still invite me, but I knew that if I go, it'll be a night out, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. I know that if I go, then I will, then the next day I'll be like hungover and stuff. So like I can allow myself to go and have fun for like one night a week or something.
Don't be so hard on yourself, man. Allow myself some fun.
Are you the good luck?
This was part of the transition, right? Of trying to like not drink as much and trying to cut down on it, because I realized I lose the next day, then I waste my time and stuff. But so as part of that transition to like not going out a lot, then I also realized I lose a big chunk of the people that I always used to meet quite often, because through them there were other guys that I would meet up and like their friends, mutual friends. So this whole group of guys that I never really caught up with because I stopped going and hanging out with them because I didn't want to be hungover the next day, and because I didn't want to go and not drink, because I feel like I'll feel a bit left out, I think.
You feel like a Nigel.
Yeah. I don't feel left out, okay, for the record.
Yeah. I think fun sometimes without alcohol.
It's difficult for me to say like, oh, you know, how about we do something else? Because if the group is especially large, right, like let's say it's more than 10 people, then why would they change for you, right? If they want to just go out and drink and have fun, I cannot be the one who's like, you know, dictating what the fun is, what, right? So I would meet them. I don't mind not drinking. It's just that I don't want to go out and have less fun, you know what I mean?
But like, then who has that onus to tell that group or like that group of friends that I don't really enjoy doing this? Like, do you want to try something else? Like,
no, but it's not really about not enjoying. It's just that at that point of time, maybe it's like it's either I stay home and do something I rather do, or go and sit while everyone's drinking and go and dance while everyone's drinking. It's just, I would like to see them. It's just that maybe I would have to jump a lot more hoops to go and meet them. What? Rather, so maybe it's a bit of laziness also.
Yeah. I think it's that also. It's just that you want to see the person, but then at the same time, not enough to go and sit there. And then, okay, so your option is you go and sit there, you drink, or you sit there and not drink and catch up with the person.
Yeah.
Or you go home and chill and then wake up and have do other stuff the next day.
Yeah.
So in that ranking of options, right, where you do care for the person, but it's just like, I know because of my years of going out with them, like how it ends up a lot of the times. And I feel like I don't really want to do that anymore, kind of thing. And then after a while, they stop calling you out. So you just lose that whole thing because you are no longer part of the usual group, you know, of guys that hang out. I mean, this is just a certain group of friends, like my army friends, for example.
So like what do you do then? Like if that happens, do you just let things fade into obscurity, or do you, like most of us, I feel that we just let it die, let that group of friends die, that friendship die, I mean, not letting them die, like literally, but like letting that relationship fade away. Like I feel that's what most of us would do, but
until someone has enough, what, then they, you know.
Yeah, so how do you think one should really approach this situation? I guess now we can talk about it because we're kind of a point where we've experienced different groups of people throughout different phases of our life, like poly, army, uni, and now work. Like, do you let friendships die, or is it up to you to kind of like drag it along and like revive it?
I think you have to try your part first before you expect anything or so. Just, I mean, if you don't put in your effort on your side, then with any relationship, then you cannot expect. Like, if the other person tries, it's good if you're both trying. But if, let's say, if the other person doesn't try, but at least you tried and there's no reciprocation, then maybe you can say that, yeah, I guess that was a different phase and the friendship just phased out, you know, or faded out. Most of the time, it just takes one party to, like, approach the other party, and then the other guy will be like, oh, yeah, let's meet up. Yeah. Then it starts again.
Actually, the funny story is one of our future guests for SPB, right, is when I actually like remember, oh, you know, I haven't spoken to this person in a while. It's my friend from army. He was also a driver. And then, yeah, that's how I like reignited the conversation and sort of say, hey, you know, I haven't spoken to you in a while. We said that we'll meet like, you know, a few years ago, but we sort of didn't let that fizzle out. How about we meet again and then have a chat? So, you know, hopefully from our chat, he'll come on to our podcast.
But do you guys feel like there's this kind of anxiety towards taking the first step a lot of the time?
I think now less so, right? I don't know about y'all.
I'm sure now less so, but I still feel it. Like, I still feel like this anxiety and this kind of voice inside my head, like, you don't need to reach out to him. Like, you just what will he like? The kind of like, what will he think of you? Like, you, does he think that you want something from you? Mm. Do you think that he's going to think that you're trying to sell him something? Something like that, like that kind
especially
of anxiety.
Difficult if you are insurance agent. imagine that.
But yeah,
I think I know what you mean. Then what's the push factor for you to even send the first text?
For me, I kind of gave myself maybe a New Year resolution that to connect more with people from my past, because, so to put it in context, I've been working in Myanmar for the past three years, like almost 3 years. So I kind of lost contact with a lot of people from Singapore, and although I made new friends in Yangon, I had to leave them also to come back. So I was, especially during that period when I was transitioning back to Singapore, I was very much in a limbo of like life and like relationships. Because I had
soft
like,
boy 91.
Because I had all these like network and like relationships I built for the past 3 years. 3 years is like our uni life. Like, you build friendships there and then you move away and you have to kind of rebuild your past relationships also while trying to maintain these relationships that you have built so far. So I kind of tried to tell myself that I should try and connect and reach out to people from at my secondary school or poly or army. But I don't know why I still find it hard to do it. Like it's, I don't know what's, like I feel like the other person will think that I'm trying to get something from them. Mm. Like there's this kind of anxiety and thought,
yeah,
voice inside
get,
my head.
I get that also. I get that also because you feel that there's, they might think there's like an ulterior motive to why you haven't spoken. Because in my mind, right, I'm like, oh, but you know, I didn't take the effort to keep in contact with them for the past few years. Then like now I'm doing the putting in the effort to keep in contact or like try to reestablish the relationship. Then I'm always worried of how I'm going to come across because, oh, now all of a sudden you want to come and talk to me. That's I mean, obviously most people don't think that way, but you know, you do have that. I do have that in my head. Like if I want to like randomly message a person and sometimes it just takes some push or some accidental meetup, bumping into them or something, some external factor that, you know, kind of pushes the person back into your life.
And I find it interesting, like if you were on the receiving end of something like that, like an old friend reached out to you, you wouldn't think that the person has an ulterior motive. I would probably be quite like glad that someone from my past reached out to me.
Yeah.
And but if you're doing it, then you feel that you have an ulterior motive.
You are just insecure, maybe.
I don't know. Soft boy.
Soft boy 91. But yeah.
Do you not feel that, Nigel?
No. I don't think about it that long because I just like, if I think about it too long, then I'll regret.
Hot boy.
So I just, so like maybe I do think about it for like that split second, then I'll be like, fuck it. Like, you know, everyone needs everything anyway. Like, which brings me to our next question, actually. Like, do you all think where we are now, right, do we make friends just to maybe climb some social ladder or get something that we need? Because especially now, a lot of us make friends to make connections to industries that we want to get into or people that we want to, you know, have a partnership with or whatever. I don't know. Sometimes I feel as a PR, sometimes it feels that way when I make friends with, say, journalists, for example, or get in touch with old friends who are journalists now. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I was actually, before we had this conversation, I was thinking about that. I guess especially when you start a career, you kind of want to climb up that ladder,
yeah,
that professional ladder, and you try and you know, like, especially when you're in that space, people, you read things or you hear things that, oh, you are the average of the five people you always hang out with. You are the people you know, not what you do. It's like the people you know is more
all
important.
All this Gary Vee shit lah.
Yeah, all this business talk. And it kind of made my anxiety of meeting people even worse because I never believed in it. Like, I really didn't like meeting someone with or making friends with someone just because I could use them for something in the future. Like, I felt that was very... And that made it hard for me to make friends when I was working in Myanmar because you kind of had that mentality that, oh, you're here, you have to make the best out of it. You have to meet the best people there, make the best network there to make your time worth. And I definitely wasn't the kind of person to do that. Like, I hated that notion of having to do that to make my time worth, that I had to meet people just to use them in the future. And I wasn't comfortable with that. There were definitely people in my circle that were comfortable with doing it and they did it all the time. Like, they made friends just to use them in the future as a business opportunity. And like people would come up to me, hey, you should talk to this guy. This guy got connection. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to talk to him unless like I like him or like I have a connection with him. Like, even if he's the richest man in the world and I don't feel like we have a connection, I won't actively be friends with them.
Yeah.
Yep.
But even so, like, there were people I met that I tried to push that to the back of my mind. And I tried to have my relationships there, that whole like taking a meeting them because of their connections. I tried my best not to do that, and I think that made me feel a bit of guilt into not doing it. I don't know. I just hated that notion, and I did it.
But like you said, because you are a business owner, this is out of necessity. You may end up liking the person and becoming friends, but all these are just making acquaintance with people, mama. As a PR also, I just feel that I'm just reaching out to the person to be an acquaintance first. And then if, you know, we have interests outside of work, then they become friends, what, from there. It's not, I don't see it as toxic. I just see it as a necessity or out of my job. That's why I make an acquaintance, you know, these are my acquaintances for now.
Yeah, I can see that also, but I think that...
You think it's the approach? Like, the approach, you, as in the approach is to make friends, but actually they have something else in mind.
Right. Yeah, I think it was that approach, that deceptiveness of it that turned me off. And that was what I saw other people doing. And I felt that was the way to do it. I felt that was like one of the ways that I had to do it, but I definitely didn't want to approach it that way. Like, we would go out to meet people and my friend would say that, oh, we should meet them because they will give us business in the future. But in my head, I'm like, I want to meet them because I treat them as a friend. So there are definitely like different ways. People definitely approach these kinds of relationships in different ways. I think over my time there, I managed to get past that and I made some really good friends there. But I can see that other people definitely made friends for business reasons first rather than friendships first, which I understand, but I can't really do that.
I feel really bad asking even friends for a favor. I know that that's like a... I just feel bad. I just feel like I always have this thing in my mind where I don't want to trouble someone just because of me, kind of thing. I don't know where it stems from, but I know that most of the time it's not going to be the case. But I do have like fear or the anxiety where I'm asking someone for like a favor, especially if it's not work related. I mean, if it benefits me but doesn't really benefit them, it's just like a favor to me kind of thing. I find it hard to do that even with friends. I know that part of business and stuff is also part. I mean, it is part and parcel of business. But then I've seen a lot of people around me like do that and like kind of network, but in a very, very deceptive way where they know it's for benefit of themselves.
Business opportunity.
Yeah, and then it kind of makes me feel like then the conversation, is it genuine or not? Like, is it real? Like, is this just both sides just putting up a front with each other? Where I kind of feel like I'd rather be real with a person and get to know them and like really like them, and then after that we talk about other stuff, like instead of pretending that, oh, you really care, and both sides pretend that they care, but actually it's for their benefit of their one side's benefit of business, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean maybe that's why I'm not cut out to be a business owner.
Maybe we're all not. We come to the realization, we're all not. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's a good point, like good point that you all made, that but I guess it depends on how we ourselves think about our approach, right? If we come in with good intentions, right, it would it matter what the other person's intention is? I mean, let's say, right, his intention is to seek some opportunity with you, right? That would also in the end benefit you, ma. Let's give the easiest example I can think of. Like insurance agents, right, who are your friends, and they approach you because they genuinely maybe, you know, want to see how they can help with your finances, for example. In the end, right, it doesn't matter what their intention is, because it also benefits you. And if you approach that conversation with the intention in mind to, you know, maybe as long as it's positive, like your intention, then in the end, also it affects you positively. What? That's what I feel. It doesn't matter what the other person thinks.
Mm, yeah.
As long as I approach it positively, then it's going to somehow benefit me. If it doesn't, then I just cut. It doesn't matter. What?
I think that's true. Like, I would approach it. So it's more on me, I feel. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm being fake. I don't want to feel like I'm doing this because of something else. Or because, and I know that I would know myself that I'm doing it for really just to meet the, to talk to the person, or I'm doing it because of my personal benefit in my business, or, you know, in as a favor to me kind of thing. So like, if I didn't keep, if I didn't maintain the relationship before, right, I wouldn't ask the person for a favor. I wouldn't, right. I wouldn't message the person.
Yeah.
But again, it's really something that you have, it depends on how you're looking at it. It's it like you said, yeah, if it's a positive approach and the person also has, if it's a mutual, for mutual gain, why not, right? I don't see why it's harmful for it's a mutual gain, but I do in my mind always question the how genuine the situation is. Even when I meet insurance agents, right, and they're like really really nice, and they're like really like friendly, and like very, they seem very trustworthy. They talk about, they even say that why there are certain things in their company, certain policies in their company that is not good, you should use another company. Like, wow. So it sounds like they are really like, yeah. But in my mind, right, even though I had a very good interaction with them, after like I walk away, I'm just like, oh, but you know, it might be all fake. It might be just because they want my money.
I think for me, it's just that authenticity and how upfront that person is. Like, if it was both of us in a professional setting, right? Like, we know that we are here to, for a business opportunity or for mutual benefit, then I had no problem. Like, I would have no problem becoming friends with that person after.
Yeah, but, after, right?
Yeah. But like, yeah, not using friendship as a guise or like a facade to mask that business part of it. Yeah, it was some. I was just gonna say I saw it, and I saw it a few times, and I just was really turned off by it.
And I feel a lot of times, not all the time, but when it's approached in that way, right, where I prefer something a bit more formal, because if it's approached in an informal way, then there's a lot of gray area when it comes to work and friends. Then, you know, you have like a, especially if it's like, you're working for, you're doing a service for a friend's company, but they approach you as like very friendly, like, you know, just as a friend, and then like you're always talking about it very almost too casually, until you don't know where to draw the line when it comes to certain services that you're providing them. And then when it gets more serious, then you're like, okay, how do I navigate it? I find it hard to navigate if it's not formally spoken about first.
Feels like you're getting catfished.
by a friend.
It's like catfishing.
Any regrets that you guys have, like any friendships that have been lost, that have not, you know, that you regret not pursuing, not doing more with?
I wish I kept in touch more with my secondary school friends, because there are a few guys that I know that I would probably get along with easily now, just based on like Facebook and stuff. But I don't really know. I mean, like,
how you know their Facebook is real? Like, whatever they post.
Yeah, maybe not.
don't okay, discourage him.
No regrets.
I was
gonna type the message. I was like typing. Yeah.
He was gonna press send.
No. Please,
I was gonna
ahead,
press
go
send.
Go but ahead.
But you know
what are you gonna say?
I actually
thanks,
realized
Nigel,
that your Facebook posts are all fake.
Yeah.
No, it's just that when you first now, like, if you look through Facebook, like half, I mean, more than half the people on Facebook, you're not actively in contact with, right?
Yeah,
you're just
you're
just like acquaintances with. But a lot of them are secondary school friends. I'm just like, I'm saying this based on like articles they shared, or like maybe like clips of stuff they shared. It's like, oh, look, I also watched that, or I agree with that, or something.
Aha,
like
funny. Yeah. Funny clip. Cool, bro.
and like, I think that maybe we won't be like best friends, but we could probably.
Right.
Is that the regret that I have? Because I'm like hardly in touch with any of my secondary school friends. I recently met one of them for New Year's, but that's because, yeah, it was like he was also my primary school friend, and it was because of that, you know, one of my two best friends in primary school came back.
Yep.
So through them, like, I met up with another one of my secondary school friends. And I mean, we like got along very well, and it was a very good experience. And it was like I was saying earlier, like, it was like this, I only remember him as a certain type of person, because the last I remember of him was more than 10 years ago, and catching up with him and hearing all the stuff that's happened in his life, and how much different he is now, you know, kind of makes me feel like I wish I was in more contact with my secondary school friends. But I'm also like, how do I go about starting doing that? Like, do I just message someone on Facebook and be like, hey, what's up? Like, you remember me? Like,
That video you posted was quite funny. I laughed at it as well.
Send him a video of Pakish say, hey, funny or not?
After this podcast, I realized that I wanted to be friends with you. Can we be friends?
Yeah. Please. Send him this clip.
Please. Please.
Give him a message to him. Look into the camera now.
It's a few people. It's like my classmates, my secondary school's classmates, my sec 4 classmates.
I think definitely there are people and friendships that could definitely have been maintained better or like kept alive. But regrets, I don't think there are no regrets. It's like you kind of end up with the group you are with because of a reason. Like it kind of gets filtered along the way through time, through interest, through work. And I guess the ones that you are stuck with that moment in time, it's a result of all that. Sure, you can, I guess you could definitely actively seek out new friendships or old friendships, but I guess it's also good that to keep things, that things are kept like natural, like that people, there are some people you lose, some people you gain, and I guess, no regrets.
I think it's just part of the process of life and the type of person that you are also. Because some people just naturally can hold a lot of friendships and keep in touch with a lot of people and maintain these friendships over a long period of time. And then some people just tend to stick, like me, tend to stick to the people like close to me within this point in my life.
Yeah.
And like, you know, then I have like a few other friends from the past, from a long time ago, but it's all like, I'm not very good at maintaining the friendship with a big group of people, with a big group of like my classmates. I like one with me, just one person kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think we have like kind of concluded that throughout these few episodes that we are passive boys.
Passive soft.
Passive soft boy whipping boys.
But I guess for me, I'm trying to actively keep different groups together as best as I can. I'm trying to step out of that passivity circle to be more like active in terms of my relationships with other people. Because even though I said just now, like sometimes things happen naturally, but that doesn't mean you don't have to put in the effort to try with the people that you have met before. Or people you feel a connection with.
And with YJ's lasting words, I think no regrets. And we are passive
famous
boys.
Famous last words.
Yeah. And with that, I think this concludes our Parkish podcast, right? This episode.
Well Nigel's getting comfy and really bombed.
Are you in bed?
No. It's my sofa.
But you got blanket.
Yeah, no, it's cold. I'm sitting directly
under. For those who can't see, Nigel's like in a very comfortable blanket.
Yeah.
He's like in
it's
half
my bedtime.
Sleeping
it's a bit
position.
Like 11:17. We've been talking for about an hour plus. So to conclude, no regrets with our relationships now. Yes, we have lost a lot of friends along the way, but you know, maybe Vin will reach out to his secondary school friends. Stay tuned to find out.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger.
He was about to hit that send button.
No man, I just deleted
see
my
what happens
Facebook
next.
Now.
No. Cannot. Just redraft your statement and then we'll see. In the future episodes.
Can get our PR expert to help you draft the
Just post
statement.
A status, right? Like anyone want to reconnect with me and become friends again?
Seeking
please
friends.
Comment. Please comment below.
Seeking friends in my area.
Singles. Hey, cannot. Hey, this one PG podcast lah. Okay, I think. And with that, where can you find us, YJ?
You can find us on all your favorite platform listening. Like, sites.
Where is our most listened platform?
Spotify.
Okay, yeah. So listen to us on Spotify, please.
Spotify and Apple Podcasts will probably be the main ones people use, but we are available on all other platforms.
Yeah, you can find our
highlights and our video versions of the podcast on YouTube. Just search Puckish Podcast, P-U-C-K-I-S-H.
Puckish.
And on Instagram and Facebook as well.
All right, thanks for listening to another episode. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye-bye.